Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Top five Houston athletes that you do not like. 713-780-ESPN. Nick said Lonnie Johnson. That's not what I thought of. When Lonnie was here the first stint, he was up there. Now, second stint, I don't know if he's like a... I don't know if he has enough cachet to even register at this point, but first stint, he would certainly be on this list. Blankers had Laramie Tunsil at number five. 6927 takes objection to that. He says, literally no one hates Tunsil. It is irritating that he commits false start penalties. Sure, he is still one of the best left tackles in the league. Absolutely.
I don't think it's safe to say that no one hates Laramie Tunsil. I think there's a lot of people that get very aggravated with Laramie Tunsil.
I'll be honest, I think that you're holding on to where he was like a couple of years ago. Like I think he would have cracked this list a few years ago whenever the Texans were bad and he didn't come back with like the thumb injury and he was renegotiating his deals. I don't think Laramie Tunsil is anywhere close to the top five currently. I think he's won back people.
Maybe, I mean, and again, that's your opinion. Maybe you're right. I just think that a lot of people still, again, because of the money factor too, that they get extremely upset with the penalties. They get extremely upset with the injuries or if he's going to play or not. But you're right. It was a huge issue. Was it 2 years ago when the thumb cost him like...
Yeah, that was before D'Amico. Final year, it was Lovey's only year.
Yeah, it was that
actually,
last year.
Was it Lovey's only year or was it Cully's year? I can't remember. It might have been Cully's year.
I think it was Lovey's year because he knew they weren't going anywhere and weren't going to make the playoffs, and a thumb injury became like more than half the season.
No, I think it was the Cully year because the Lovey year he was great and then got his contract redid. I think it was the Cully year. 713-780-ESPN. OB's on Twitch says from the Astros, Bregman, Texans, Titus Howard. See, I think Titus Howard would be the one. Well, maybe Kenyon Green. It would go Howard, Green, one or two, and then Tunsil would be a distant third, I think. Rockets, a couple people texted this one too. Jayshon Tate.
Why would Jayshon Tate be on that list except for the fact that he's a horrible fit here, that he really didn't play enough? He really didn't play enough for you to hate him.
Yeah, like to me, he's almost like Lonnie Johnson-ish, where he doesn't have enough cachet and clout to even register.
What, so when you said Lonnie Johnson, the name that I thought that might would have been stronger, but he's not on the team anymore. But like, it was understandable to really kind of hate DJ Swearinger back in the day.
Yeah,
more than Lonnie Johnson. Lonnie Johnson was a draft pick that didn't work out. That had a lot more belief in his ability than.
Well, that's why Kenyon's on the list.
Yeah.
9695, Tate is in mine, but it's more because I want him gone.
There you go.
But he just doesn't really steal minutes from people, though.
Like, plus, it's not, he didn't ask for the contract. He got it.
Yeah, and it's not a terrible contract.
No.
Like, the Rockets are literally going to pick up the option because it's good to have in case you want to throw him in a trade as trade filler. So, right. Like, the contract's not even atrocious.
It's like seven a year.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not. I mean,
by today's NBA standards, it's not that bad.
And it's got like a bunch of options so you can get out of it whenever. Like, is it too much for the 12th guy on your team? Probably. But at the same time, it's good to have because it's cap filler or trade filler for a trade. A couple of people saying John Singleton. This one, 8881, saying Singleton for not winning first base while Abreu was gone.
I don't understand that. The home runs that he had once he started playing more frequently and almost every day, granted, he's not hitting for average. But he's had not only home runs, but he's had home runs in very opportune spots that have won you baseball games to where I'm not going to hate on John Singleton.
No, I'm not going to hate on John Singleton either. Like, the most I would say about Singleton is that relative to first baseman around Major League Baseball, he's below average. That said, he's probably your best option at first base, at least against right-handed pitching. I like Mauricio Dubon over there against left-handed pitching. 1-3-2-2, this one might need a judge. Forrest Whitley. Is this does he count?
Is he really he's not an active player or he's an active player
in the
Space
system.
Cowboys?
He's
still
in the system. He's on the injured list.
Yes, yeah, I was gonna say, isn't he still hurt?
I think you can count
Lance,
him.
If Lance counts, so would Whitley.
I think you can count him. That's
I think
a good
there's
answer.
A lot of people that have a lot of animosity because of all the talk of how great this guy was gonna be and that he was your number one prospect and he was gonna be a surefire, big time, long term arm for you. I could see that.
I could, because again, this is expectations of what you thought a player was going to be that didn't live up to those expectations, and he would be high on that list. That's a good outside the box answer. I like that one. 9271 Jimmy Ward. Wait, Lamont called a minute ago and said Jalen Petrie. I would, if I had to pick a safety, I would put Jimmy Ward ahead of Jalen Petrie.
I expected a lot of Jimmy Ward, and one thing I didn't expect was him to be as frequently hurt as he was and be a minimal contributor to a guy that knows D'Amico's system, that was one of D'Amico's guys. As much as I'm excited about El Shaair this year because I think he's going to flourish and he wants to play for D'Amico, I had those same feelings about Jimmy Ward, and then he was never on the field.
Yeah. His was frustration because of injury, mm-hmm. although we kind of defended Lance of injury. So maybe we're being hypocrites a little bit here. This is an interesting one from 7225. Justin Verlander.
Why?
I literally hate Justin Verlander. I don't know.
I guess because you had to trade for him and give up two prospects to get him back because you didn't want to pay him. But at the same time, he kind of came back and saved your bacon a little bit.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be a reason to hate him.
Right.
The team didn't want to pay him.
I wouldn't.
Hate Justin Verlander at all.
I mean, I think Justin Verlander is the greatest Houston Astros starting pitcher of all time. He's still.
You do that, yes.
He's still one of your top two best pitchers right now. I don't know how anybody could hate Justin Verlander. Let us know on that one. Text us back 7225 or call us.
I mean, there were.
Call us and tell us why you hate Justin Verlander.
There were some stories that came out of the clubhouse that some of the players seemed to be annoyed that he wasn't there that year at all when he had Tommy John surgery, but I never saw any of that hate go out towards the fan base.
Yeah, that was the COVID year, so there's that. That was Carlos Correa going right to the suits upstairs and saying, don't let him throw out the first pitch because he hasn't been around. At the same time, the guy's the Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. He's the greatest Houston Astros starting pitcher of all time. He should have Roger Clemens treatment. So I don't care that he was away from the team rehabbing during the COVID year. I thought that was blown out of proportion. Now, do I want him throwing out the first pitch? I think that's fair what Correa did, but I don't. I don't understand where the hate for Verlander. Nick says, "How can anyone in Houston not like JV?" Yeah, I'm very curious. I want to know your reasoning on that. 4631 says Royce Wright. We're talking about current players,
right.
Harden, current players. Honeyglaze Branham says Joseph Mixon. He is a physical assaulter. I'm going to change his wording here.
Oh,
and a Sooner. So Honeyglaze Branham might be a. I love how those two things go together. By the way. He's a domestic abuser and a Sooner because those things are parallel. Those things belong in the same sentence. 713-780-ESPN. A couple more on the Harden. He wouldn't count here. Kevin Johnson, cornerback for the Texans. That would be more old school. He was a disappointment though. Kevin Johnson was.
Oh, for sure he was. Yeah, and another guy that got hurt a lot too. But he was your first round pick, right?
He was first round.
He was late first
or mid somewhere in the teens.
He was, I believe, in the 20s. There was a stretch there. I'm blanking on the GM's name all of a sudden, but he was like the only first. Yeah, he was the only first round pick Rick Smith had for a long period of time that didn't hit.
Yeah, yeah. He was so skinny. Remember how skinny Kevin Johnson was?
He was a tiny small dude.
7990 says that was Kate Upton's ex, no doubt. The text the show. All right, a couple of old players here. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Jose Abreu, I think, is pretty unanimously the number one player in Houston that's on the most hated list. It's been just 2 days since Jose Abreu's been back in this re-experiment or whatever we're calling it. It's already a disaster. And who's getting the short end of the stick because Jose Abreu, the re-experiment, is back? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We talk about pet peeves on this show all the time. One of my biggest pet peeves, potholes. I do not like potholes. Can't stand potholes, in fact. And that's one of the reasons I love Third Rock Renewables. They're on a campaign to fix potholes for good. We've all been there. Pothole pops up. You throw some money at it to fix it, and it turns out it's just a temporary fix. It's a Band-Aid. That annoying pothole just pops up again. Maybe not even the word to use for it. It just develops again. Another hole develops, and a pothole is there in a few weeks or a few months. Change that. Get in touch with Third Rock Renewables today. Anywhere you need asphalt, stop using asphalt. It's expensive. It doesn't work all that great. You need mechanical concrete from Third Rock Renewable. It's patented technology from Third Rock Renewables called mechanical concrete. It turns these old end-of-life tires into this indestructible building product. It's the only low-cost, industrial-strength, sustainable in the market. This mechanical concrete will fix these potholes for good, and we can eliminate one pet peeve from our life forever. It's also great for parking lots. It's great for ranch roads, a lay-down yard, truck parking. Wherever you use asphalt, stop using asphalt and use mechanical concrete from Third Rock Renewables. Visit them online right now, thirdrockrenewables.com, or just call them, 713-305-0507. Mention ESPN, get 20% off, 713-305-0507. Mechanical concrete from Third Rock Renewables will change your life for the better.
ESPN 97.5. We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's weird that you have these people on Twitter that defend Jose Abreu. It blows my mind. It's like, oh, it's only two games. He's 1-for-6. He's hitting the ball hard. He hit one ball hard. Oh, he hit it hard in Sugar Land. Okay, cool. He's hitting AAA pitching. He's got a 300 average and a 900 OPS in the FCL. That sub single A pitching, like the Abreu defenders, is weird to me. It's a very, very small vocal minority, but I've seen it as people have argued with me about Abreu. But I've already seen enough of this Jose Abreu re-experiment, and it bothers me for a few reasons. And like, the wins are one thing. Like, you're not winning games, and Jose Abreu's on your baseball team. That's not great. Is that a correlation? I don't know. But what drives me nuts are the players that are getting really jobbed out of this, in my opinion. Like, John Singleton is our first baseman. That's a quote from Dana Brown prior to Jose Abreu being brought back up. Who's played first base in the first two games that's the 100 hitting Jose Abreu is played? Jose Abreu. So John Singleton's not your first baseman if in the first two games where Jose Abreu's back, he's playing first base. So that's a lie from Dana Brown, which Dana Brown likes to run his mouth a little bit. And then, well, Branham, you know, Singleton's been in the lineup. He's DH twice. Okay, cool. What is the cost there? The cost there means that Chaz McCormick, and I understand that Chaz McCormick hasn't played well, but Chaz McCormick has good career numbers. Chaz McCormick was really good last year. If you're trying to see if somebody can get back to where they were, do you have more faith in the over-the-hill 100-hitting Jose Abreu or Chaz McCormick, who should be in the prime-ish of his career? Another player that's getting the short end of the stick, Joey Loperfido, was literally the corresponding move to be sent down. And I understand he wasn't playing prior to that. Maybe he should have been. Maybe he should have been playing first base. But then the other guy that's getting jobbed in this whole deal is Mauricio Dubon. So, Joe, and I know this is not Joe Espada making the call here. The decision makers of the Astros are saying it's more of a priority to see if Jose Abreu can turn the corner than getting at bats for Chaz McCormick, Joey Loperfido, and maybe, you know, the biggest of them all, Mauricio Dubon. So it drives me nuts that Jose Abreu's re-experiment is costing these guys at bats.
Yeah, the timing was ridiculous. You brought him back, and everything you said is spot on in terms of the guys that are paying the price. And what it really comes down to is the ego of the powers that be not willing to admit they made a mistake, and the money that he's being paid making it magnify everything to the point where they are more adamant than they would be in other situations to want to give this guy every opportunity to succeed. And the problem that makes it more tougher for anybody to swallow is the fact that you are not winning the division by 5 to 10 games. You are not clearly up in a division where you can take chances like this, where you can be a little bit more flexible with who you're playing where and who's getting the key, you know, the key starts, when you realize you're chasing teams and trying to get back in a race because of the hole that your team dug while everybody was dealing with Abreu and injuries and Bregman and everything else. It's been the perfect storm of negativity, so it's not the ideal situation no matter when you wanted to bring him back.
Yeah, if you're 5 games up, it's more tolerable.
Sure.
Like, it's a lot more tolerable because you would still be frustrated. Yep. Like, if you lose 3 of 4 to Seattle and you're up 5 games in the division and Jose Jose Abreu's playing, we know how fans react. They would be we'd be annoyed by it. But the fact that it's flipped and that you're 5.5 games back and you're pulling this stunt makes it even more aggravating. Like, why is Mauricio Dubon not getting at bats over Jose Abreu? Dubon's hitting north of 300s, actually slugging a little bit. He's one of the best contact hitters in baseball. Nope, let's play the guy that's hitting 100 on the year. Chaz McCormick was one of the bigger surprises last year, had north of an 800 OPS. Why don't you see if that guy can get it turned around as opposed to Jose Abreu? Why is Abreu more important? I know the answer to that, because he's being paid $19.5 million.
It's ego of the powers that be and dollars that they're trying to make sense of that they won't let go of because of the fact that they know that they'll have egg all over their face if they have to do that. I think that Loprofito is another one. You're stunting the growth and development with games under their belt, more experience and more ability in Joey Loprofito, a guy that did nothing to deserve being demoted other than being the wrong guy at the wrong place at the wrong time because of the situation. He came in and no, he didn't hit for the power he did in the minor leagues, but he hit the baseball. He had a good average. He played multiple positions for you. He was a good soldier. And for that, he gets punished because there's a guy making a boat ton of money and isn't living up to the expectations.
What's frustrating about that, too, is like Loprofito has a he would have a pretty big role in this team if they were committed to him. Like yesterday, you get Castillo on the mound, who's a very tough righty against right-handed hitters. And because you don't really have another left-handed option, you have nobody to play. Like Loprofito would have made a whole lot of sense in the lineup yesterday, whether it's left field, whether it's first base. You know, you're playing Singleton. Singleton needs to be in the lineup against right-handed pitchers who are good against righties. So you'd have to play Singleton at first or DH.
I don't like him in center, but until Jake really got caught fire, he was an option center. He's more of a corner outfield. Their first baseman, but he's proven to you that the moment wasn't too big and he's not a 4A type player. He can play on the next level.
4798, you call it a re-experiment. I call it sabotage. That's a good point. 5030, a boat ton of money. LOL. Need to call Third Rock Renewable for Jose Abreu. Annoying pothole that keeps popping up. That's the text of the day there. I was blown away by some of these Jose Abreu numbers, by the way. I tweeted a poll earlier today at Jeremy Branham on Twitter. Listen to these stats, and you tell me which is your favorite. And by favorite, I mean the one that just blows your mind the most. 104 batting average. There's four options here. A, B, C, multiple choice. We'll dumb it down for the
for
Brian. Okay, so you'll tell me which one you voted here in a second. 104 batting average. That's option A for Jose Abreu. Option B is a 157 on base percentage. That's option B. Option C, 117 slugging percentage. And then option D is a minus 1.5 war. Which Jose Abreu stat is the worst? A, average, B, on base, C, slugging, D, war. D, war.
To me, the fact that you've got a guy that is literally on the Cologne line is absolutely ridiculous to me. But I said was it OPS?
Well, I put slugging in on base, not OPS.
Well, slugging in on base is also to me, but for a guy that's won the MVP, for a guy that's been a massive, you know, hit for average and hit for extra base hits and at some point power, the fact that you got a guy hitting just a skosh over 100 is absolutely inexcusable. It's ridiculous. It's not major league. It's not minor league. It's not any league acceptable.
But exit velocity in the FCL, don't forget about that. And sub-A pitching that he's faced. He had a 900 OPS in the FCL.
Super.
Dana Brown was using that like it was a feather in the cap today.
That's on the back of a different type of – maybe that's on the back of like a different kind of baseball card.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
– on the back of his baseball card.
That ain't doing it for me.
For me, it's slugging. Like the minus 1.5 war is like that's awful, obviously. But a 117 slugging is unheard of. That's incredible. That's unbelievable.
So it was a 100 average for a guy that's like Alex Bregman sucks and Alex Bregman's hitting 100 points better.
But a 117 slugging?
Yeah.
Like, think about that. Think of a 117 slugging. He's got a 104 average and a 117 slugging. It means what? His one extra base hit is a double? He's got 8 hits on the year. He's 8 for 77. His one extra base hit is a double. That's all he has. Like, his slugging percentage would be an atrocious batting average. His slugging would be an atrocious batting average. Like, it's like they're all bad, obviously. It's picking your poison here. Wesley says, I choose all the above. We all choose all the above. We make you answer these tough questions. But a 117 slugging? 117 slugging. So even whenever he does get one of his rare hits, 104 average, they're all singles. They're all singles. And this is coming from a first baseman. Your everyday first baseman, that had a little sabbatical in West Palm Beach is slugging 117.
That's, yeah. I mean, like you said, they're all atrocious numbers.
Give me a random Houston Astro pitcher from like the 90s. Just a random
Mike
one.
Hampton.
Mike, well, don't
he's
use
a good
Hampton.
Hitter.
He's a good hitter.
Just give me a random.
Shane Reynolds.
All right, Shane Reynolds. You guys talk for a little bit as I pull up Shane Reynolds' slugging percentage all time.
I think I'd actually go with slugging percentage as well because I don't think I've ever seen a first baseman with the slugging percentage just barely above his batting average. Because I mean, for all that Dana Brown was telling us about, oh, he's too bulked up, he's too strong, it's slowing down his bat speed. Well, if he runs into one, you think he would actually do something when he caught up to it. But even when he's catching up to it, it's just, you know, these light little singles. He has no power. That slugging percentage is incredible to me.
I didn't realize it was that bad. Like, I knew it was bad. I didn't realize it was that bad. I didn't realize it was so close to his batting average. You look at, like, Martin Maldonado has been one of the worst players in baseball this year. Martin Maldonado has an 0.83 average. Obviously, that's very, very bad. Abreu's at 104, slightly better there. Martin Maldonado has a better slugging than Jose Abreu, despite Martin Maldonado being at 0.83 average, Abreu 104. Martin Maldonado slugging 14 points better than Jose Abreu. Like, that, it's incredible.
It
Shane
is.
Reynolds. Shane Reynolds' lifetime batting average of 141. So that's 37 points better than Jose Abreu. Lifetime on base of 165. That's 8 points better than Jose Abreu. Shane Reynolds' lifetime slugging percentage was 196. Jose Abreu's at 117. That's 79 points better than Jose Abreu. That's, isn't that his number? 78, 79?
79.
Shane Reynolds' career slugging percentage blows out Jose Abreu's slugging this year. And we're running that guy out there to see if he can turn the corner, and random people on the internet are defending this guy?
It's
unbelievable to me.
It's all money-driven, too, the fact that you've got...
I don't think it is money-driven. I think it's pride-driven, because the money is the money. You're going to owe him no matter what.
Right, but I think that if you owed him, but he was playing even close to the levels that they thought they were going to get when they signed him, he wouldn't even be a blip on the radar screen no matter how bad this team's played this year. But the fact that you're paying him ever since he's been an Astro, except for that one short stint after he came back from the quote-unquote back injury, you really can't say that he's ever done anything to warrant even a fraction of the money that he's making. And now when you know that he's on the hook for one more year as bad as this year's been and how tough it's been to swallow the fact you got to pay him 19 this year, you know that there's still a guaranteed next year. That's why it's so mind-boggling for the fans, and that's why it's so ego-driven for the owner and for Bagwell.
But not money-driven. Like, they owe him regardless.
But they hate it.
Yeah, but I think it's more pride. Admitting they're like the
money. But isn't it money-driven if you know that if he wasn't making the money, he'd already be gone?
No, that's a different conversation. Because the conversation is you have option A, you DFA him and pay him the rest of his money, or you keep him and pay him the rest of the money. What his contract could have been isn't in the conversation.
No, because you're keeping him only because you're hoping at a certain point he finds it, and they're probably going to give him an opportunity to fight for a job next year, too. If they had their choice, if they had their druthers, because they're paying him, they believe at some point that there's still this out. And I think every day it gets lesser and lesser.
If he was making the league minimum, is he still on this team?
No way.
No, but those aren't your options that are presented to you.
But I think the only reason why it's money driven is the only reason why he's still on this team.
Right. But option A, you keep him. Option B, you don't keep him, and you still pay him the same amount of money. The money's fixed.
Right. But because as part of the options that you're giving me, the one option also involves a whole lot of embarrassment for two guys in particular.
Well, that's why I think it's more pride than money. The money is the money. You owe him whatever is left of this year and next year.
As a businessman, Crane hates the thought of giving a guy free money to walk away.
But I would argue that's pride. Because the money, again,
it's
is
still
fixed.
Financial.
But it's not, but it doesn't change. The finances here doesn't change. The Astros have two options. Keep him on the roster, don't keep him on the roster. Either way, they're paying him the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. It does not change. So why are they
because
keeping
him? Because they look stupid if
that's
they
pride.
Just cut him.
That's pride. That's not financial. That's pride. Now, because it's a big number, does it impact their pride? Yes, I see where you're coming from. But the number is fixed.
Right.
The money that you owe him is fixed. That is not changing. So what is better? Is it better to pay him the money to take up one of the 26 spots on this roster and not let, you know, Chaz McCormick, Mauricio Dubon get at bats, maybe John Singleton, Joey Loperfido if you want to throw him into this mix? Or is it better? So is it better to keep him, not let those other four guys get at bats, or is it better to completely get rid of him?
Right. From a team standpoint,
the answer is B.
Yes, from a team standpoint, because and again, because this team needs every able body that's capable of producing, both pitching and offensively and defensively. On all hands need to be on deck. I think there's before he's gone.
I want him to be on deck and then never leave.
Yeah,
never leave. Stand on deck and never move,
right.
Jose Abreu. But that's how I'm paying you $19.5 million next year. Whatever I owe you rest of this year, you're going to stand in the on deck circle and you will not move. You're standing there.
I would love.
You're
it
not
too.
Moving.
I just think that right pride, whatever the reasons why, Crane and Baggy ain't doing that yet. And yeah, what they're going to do next is they're going to have him take up a spot on the bench. He's not going to start, but he's still going to be around because they're still holding out hope.
That would be better. That would be better.
When you and I talked about this, it was once every fourth day. We were like, that's okay. It still sucks, but at least it's not him being jammed down our throat every single night as a guy that we have to stomach watching play, especially in a big series like this. And then he plays the first two games of the series, and you're like, why'd you bring him back now? Why'd you put him in this situation? Why did you think he was going to be any different? And now why the hell is he playing in the first two games back-to-back in a series where the matchups completely favored somebody else?
I saw somebody... This blows my mind how the Astros go from winning two World Series titles, the golden era. Jeff Bagwell, after they win a World Series title, saying we're going too deep into analytics. You've literally won a second World Series. And now we're talking about a first baseman that has a slugging percentage lower than Shane Reynolds' career slugging by a mile, by 79 points or whatever it was. And you're keeping him on the roster. I saw somebody on Twitter today say that the Astros went from the smartest organization in baseball to the dumbest.
They're not wrong.
Yeah. I think you're
they're not wrong.
Cash. Cash.
Yep,
I think they're right. And we should have known. I'm so mad at myself for not blasting Jeff Bagwell at the time. I'm so mad at myself. They had literally won a World Series, and Jeff Bagwell says we're doing things wrong. Think about that. Think about that. You won a World Series. You've won two in seven. You won two in 5 years. 17 is it 3 years? It's 6 years. You won two in 6 years. You've been to whatever straight ALCS is seven, I think. And Jeff Bagwell, after you win your second World Series off the heels of a parade, you say we're doing things all wrong. And we're all like, yeah, he's Jeff Bagwell. He's right. What in the world were we thinking?
The fact that you take a general manager that played an integral role in the success that the teams had, including winning a World Series, and because there was a personality conflict between him and the owner, he was shown the door.
Right.
And let's all be real about this. The offer that was made was not a real offer. It wasn't a fair offer for a guy that did what Click did. It was an offer so that they tried to save face so that it didn't look like they were completely whacked out of their minds in terms of getting rid of a guy that they didn't want anymore because he was a smart guy that believed in analytics when they hate it.
Everybody bought in hook, line, and sinker. I'm so mad at myself for doing that. 713-780-ESPN. Your thoughts on Abreu. We'll get to Yiner Diaz potentially as well. I think he's a tweener, by the way. I think Yiner's – we don't hear this term a whole lot in baseball. It's usually a basketball, maybe even a football term, tweener. I think Yiner Diaz is a tweener. What in the world are you talking about, Brian? I'll tell you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, we know that the NBA playoffs are ready for the finals. We know that there's at least one more game in the Western Conference Finals, and then the best series and the biggest series of the year, the NBA Finals. That's why I'm telling you about mybookie.ag, because you can make every one of those games more interesting because you can put some money on it. You can do some gambling, and you can actually be more vested and have more interest in the biggest series of the year in the NBA. You can do it for all the sports, and they cover all of them. UFC, golf, baseball, basketball, football, you name it, they got it. And even when there's not games going on, they got live dealers standing by for casino games, so you can play poker, and you can play blackjack, and you can play casino games with live dealers, giving you that chance to get some money won. It's fantastic. MyBookie really makes it easy to get paid. Tons of boosted props, slam dunk parlays, new boosts posted on the daily, and it's more than just a sports book. They got all the different things like underdog upsets and a community that allows you to share in the excitement of your wagers and all the odds that are going on all the time. Make all that more fun, even the boring games, by going to mybookie.ag. Give yourself a head start right now. play with house money, if you will, because you use our promo code BET975 when you're making your first deposit. If you're just hearing about it or have never signed up for MyBookie in the past, go to MyBookie.ag and where they say enter your promo code, put in our promo code, which is BET975, and you're instantly going to get a little extra money in your account that you can use and bet with right away. That means more chances to win because you got more money in your account and more games you can play. It's fantastic. And if you already have been a customer, there's a reload bonus for you too. All you got to do is remember that promo code I always stress to you, BET975. When you use it, you will cash in because of it, because there will be more money available to you because you listen to us and you use them. Again, use that promo code BET975 to claim that limited time bonus. Sign up right now, make a deposit. And what I always tell you to do is never going to be different. It's always going to be the same. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lamont says Branham's on one today. I did get a little out of control there because I had like a, I don't even know what to call it. What is it called whenever you're like out of body experience? Just think, I was thinking of this on the drive in today. Jeff Bagwell told all of us that we're doing it wrong after we won a World Series. He said that. He said we have went too far into analytics. Yeah, because you want to. So old school baseball is going to win you more than two World Series. I can't believe everybody fell for that junk.
I hate the fact that there are people so against things that they don't know about that they have to be completely unable to be a difference maker or be right or be effective, because I saw the same thing in basketball that Bagwell's talking about in baseball, and the fact that the old heads are the ones that don't believe in analytics at all, where the best heads are the ones that understand that the perfect combination is the eye test and the analytics to make sure that you can still, you know, because there's no, you know, quotient and numbers that can be put on team chemistry and the ability to play well and get along with others. That's where the eye test comes in. But the analytics are effective, they're successful, and they mean something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the best ones are the ones who use them together. I think you're right. Best heads. I like that word. That's how you describe me. Henry says Bagwell doesn't know what he's talking about. He never won a championship. It's a good line. It's a good line. How can Bagwell say that we're doing it all wrong when you won two titles and Bagwell choked in the postseason? I hate that I'm turning on a Killer Bee. Hate it. I would never do this to Craig Biggio. 713-780-ESPN. I did not buy in on anything Bagwell says. He's a moron. He's had the worst talking points in the booth I've ever heard. Hey, Branham, you're an influencer, right? Yes, I am. Thank you for noticing. Why not influence hashtag DFA Abreu? You know what? That's a good idea. I'm going to do that. I'm impressionable. I take the advice of the people who are smarter than me. I think that the Hive is smarter than me. I'm going to take that upon myself. I did pin the GoFundMe. What are you shaking your head at?
Because you're a liar if you think the Hive is smarter than you.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Yeah. I did pin the GoFundMe. I brought the GoFundMe back today because I put it away while he was in West Palm Beach. The GoFundMe took a sabbatical and a vacation like Jose Abreu did. But now that he's back and he's ruining the Astros, the GoFundMe is back for Jose Abreu. We're well on our way to the donation of paying off the contract of one Jose Abreu. 5030 says DFA Bagwell. I wish.
As people had that unbelievable burning desire to get rid of Jack Easterby, it is a growing army of people that would love Bagwell to go away from their baseball team, except for sitting behind home plate in the Diamond Club, having a couple of cocktails and watching ball.
He's too good to sit there now. He only sits there in the postseason. He sits in the suite during the regular season.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
Because it used to be he liked to have – he and the missus used to sit somewhere in the Diamond.
You'll notice it's mostly only in the postseason. Huh. There was that one time where he was getting a little bit handsy, too, after too many vodkas. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
He got a little handsy.
Because a lot of people noticed on social media.
He got a little – maybe that's why he sits in the suite.
Maybe.
Now, because you can't see when Bagwell's getting a little handsy in the suite like you can in the Diamond Club. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Patrick, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys. I think the thing here is I think people naturally, in Bagwell's case, for example, are naturally dismissive of things they don't understand, which would be analytics. They were never an analytics team, never won anything. And so now that they did win something, he wants to go back to what he he knows and what they think works, which evidence shows didn't. So I think it's pretty ridiculous that this team is going to sit back and change everything that did work under Luhnow and trust Bagwell after all of that. But naturally dismissive when you don't understand something makes a lot of sense.
Patrick hit it right on the head. Yeah, it's a great take, mm-hmm. Patrick, because people are naturally, if you don't understand something, you're naturally dismissive of it, and you usually talk down about it. Why? Well, I don't get it, so it must suck. It must not be good. It doesn't resonate with me. So if it doesn't resonate with me, it must not be any good. You do get very dismissive of things you don't understand, but human nature.
That's what I was trying to say, and Patrick summed it up a whole hell of a lot better than me. That's exactly right. That's what you get with old schoolers. Old schoolers don't believe, and I've worked with so many people that refuse to accept analytics because of the fact that they didn't understand it. They didn't understand how you could tell me, like, fourth quarter, 5 minutes to play, the effectiveness of a guy on a certain point in the floor making a certain percentage of shots mm-hmm. and telling me that could win a basketball game as opposed to the right defense or offensive play call at the right time.
I agree with everything you said, but I take offense to old schooler. Because I disagree with that part.
I've just seen a lot of it be from old school.
Probably
types.
There's probably more of that, but I think it is stereotypical. Because I think that there's old school guys who are very, like, they're aficionados when it comes to analytics. I've seen many old school guys who are as good with the analytics as somebody 25 years old straight out of Harvard. So I don't think that it's old school, new school. I think it's more open-minded, closed-minded. Because you can be old school head. With an open, even an old head. Like an old head that's open-minded, that has an appreciation for it, and is willing to learn it and master it. I think that's the best of both worlds, quite frankly. Because you get old school, like eye test, combined with the mastering of the new school analytics. I think that's the best combination you can have. Because you do, I think it's more open-minded, closed-minded. Because you have old school guys that are closed-minded that refuse to learn the analytics and are dismissive of it. And then you also have new school guys who are very analytical driven that dismiss the old school values. So I think it's more open-minded, closed-minded than old versus new or young versus old.
It's maybe so. Because like on the flip side, I had guys, and the majority of them obviously younger, with the analytic kick that came into the sports, but they had a hard time accepting the eye test. It was all analytics. Yeah. That's the formula that wins. And you don't understand the fact that you can have all the analytics in the world on your side, but if you got guys that don't play well together, don't understand each other, don't have chemistry, you're probably not going to win.
And I agree with you that you see it more with the old than the new. Because like, I think that old... It's going to sound very oldest of me. I do generally think it's more open-mindedness, closed-mindedness, but you see older people usually be a little bit more closed-minded. Mm-hmm. I think that's the correlation versus...
It's the whole commercials blah, 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 blah. With change, right? Because
yeah.
They don't want to accept change because they don't understand change and they don't like change because they get set in their ways and they like the way they did it.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. But is that because they're older? Is that because they're closed-minded? Or is that a correlation of two?
Could be a combination.
Yeah. I need... 1772. Hey, Branham. Oh, we already read that one. We'll get to the Yiner tweener stuff tomorrow. I'll tell you what I mean about that tomorrow. That's a good forward tease, right? Ran out of time griping about Jose Abreu and Jeff Bagwell. Really put me in a bad mood at the end of the show, too. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What is your car wreck of the day for a Wednesday? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Astros line. This is Justin Verlander's music. Justin Verlander on the mound today. Lineup is out. No Jose Abreu, and that'll be good news for most. Dubon not in the lineup. So it's
Chaz?
Three straight games. Chaz is playing. He gets the bump because of no Abreu. So it's Altuve, Tucker, Yordan DHing. Pena, Bregman, Jake. Singleton, Chaz, and Yiner. Astros really need a win today. Justin Verlander on the mound. As they go toe-to-toe, Verlander does with George Kirby.
Kirby's a damn good pitcher.
His numbers against the Astros have been better than he's pitched this year. 4.33 ERA, like whatever. But he owns the Astros.
He certainly does. He always has, seems to always have success against them. Is he, George Kirby is the one that said when he had all the issues with about just not having it or not feeling it?
I think that was last year, yeah.
Yes, last year. And
I
then
think
he,
so.
And then again, we've mentioned old heads, but all the old school guys just attacked the hell out of him.
I think that's right.
Yeah, Clemens was one of them that went right at him going, bro, are you serious?
Like, yeah, it was Kirby. Kirby.
It was, okay.
Let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, car wreck of the day. Coming up on ESPN, by the way. National at 6, Hall of Fame at 7. Space Cowboys over on 92.5 at 9.05. Lo Perfido playing first base today. Was not in the lineup yesterday. All right, what do you nominate for car wreck of the day, Blinkers?
Easy first one is Ryan Pressly. I mean, Ryan Pressly took victory right out of the jaws of victory. He sold us defeat last night, and it was tough to take.
That should have been such a good win, too. Like, man, you get Bregman hits a big home run. Hunter Brown pitches phenomenal. Like, that should have been the one where, okay, back on track. Even the series is even. Bregman not hitting in the top four. Hunter Brown pitching well for the fifth game in a row. Should have been that win. And it spoiled it all. Really hope the Astros win the next two.
Well, yeah. Verlander, if there's one guy that's been a stopper for you since he's been an Astro, he's the kind of guy that can be the right guy at the right time.
Yeah. Stuart Haas Racing to shut down at season's end. I read this today and it brought a tear to my eye. I was like, we're gonna have motor racing without Stuart Haas. It's just not gonna feel the same anymore. This would be like, actually, I don't know what it would be like because I have no clue. But it brought a tear to my eye knowing that Stuart, I think it's Tony Stewart, the guy that killed somebody on the track.
Yeah.
Stewart and then partner with Haas, who I think they have an F1 team. It brought a tear to my eye.
Name
knowing
a driver
that Stuart
they have.
Haas Racing, what's that?
Name a driver they have.
Tony Petty.
You could be lying. I have no idea.
I think it's Tom Petty.
Tom Petty's a singer. Richard Petty. Driver.
Do I say Tony Petty?
Yeah, Tony Petty. I got no idea.
Tom Petty's a rock band. Who's Tony Petty?
Let's Google
instead.
Tony Petty. Yeah. Yeah, Tony Petty. Yeah, I don't think it's Tony Petty. All right. What is your car wreck of the day, Brian?
So I realized after I did this, I always send TK a text on Wednesday. Hey, like, you know, when are you going to join us? Because he's got some things that move around with this schedule. And I forgot that they're in Seattle, so I texted him at our time at 9:30, no problem. But thankfully, TK was cool, and he actually responded right away, so I guess he was up. But I texted him before 8 a.m., hit local time where he was, which is a faux pas and definitely a bad error on my part.
A 5:45-ish text is not something I want on the West Coast.
No. It was 7:30.
It's a two-hour difference.
Yeah, I texted him at 9:30.
Oh, I thought you said before 8.
Yeah, I don't like to text people before 8, but I didn't realize until after I sent it, it was still before 8 his time where he was.
West Coast time? That's
did you apologize?
No, because he didn't
care. No, should.
I'll talk to him on the line on Friday. I'll apologize then.
I'm not sure what you do worse, texting people before 8 a.m. or parking your truck.
I'll send a tweet out of the picture today.
Are you going to park the day Brian's parked?
No, he's in the lines. I feel bad for Mapes, though. He can only turn right. He was like Zoolander, couldn't turn left. Actually, I might have flipped that. A few people want to nominate some folks. Junior Broncos wants to nominate Stumpy Joe George. He said yesterday after the game, Bregman, Pressly, Abreu, disasters. Bregman drove in every single run.
He did.
In the Astros game yesterday. So Junior Broncos wanted to nominate him for that. 2180, Sleepy Joe Espada and Do Nothing Dana are the car wreck of the day. Granted, they are hampered by Jerry Jones as owner. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure who he nominated there, but I
all of the above.
Yeah. Astros decision makers, I think we can nominate them.
Big time.
But here you go, Jose Abreu. Here's the Seattle Mariners. Go play against the team that's leading this division. They had a deal beforehand. They had to.
But because something had to be discussed because there's no way anything makes logical sense, analytically or otherwise, to say instead of coming back against the single A's and a place where you've had success, come back against the Mariners against dominant young pitching that pitch exactly the way you don't want them to be pitched and say, have at it, big dog. Go get them.
Can't stand it. Do not like it. Not a fan. What did Singletary say? Can't win with it. Can't do it. Virginia wants to nominate Brian, who comes back on a Wednesday, take the week off. Brian actually
worked the whole time.
Yeah, he was working. We just pretended like you were not working. Like you were lazy bones, not working. All right, what's winning?
Just the Astros in general.
Presley?
Again.
I think we got to get to Presley specifically. Like, okay. I mean, he was the biggest reason they lost the game. Yeah, I mean, we bang on Abreu for should have made the play at first. But, I mean, Presley's the reason they lost that game yesterday.
Yeah, so, in order of fault, it is Presley, then Abreu, then Espada.
All right, congratulations to Ryan Presley. We're going to get out of here. Thanks to Brian for doing the work. He's blank on Branham. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.